It's like we're telling women, go on, speak up for yourself. Just know the entire network is with Roger. No one will believe you. They'll call you a liar. Oh, and as for your career, you want assignments and airtime? Go ahead. Call the paranoid man who decides your salary a pervert and do that on a fucking anonymous hotline he controls.
With today's fast-moving 24/7 news cycle, I'm going to guess that it's harder to make a film based on true events that recently unfolded, as we have both an endless amount of streaming shows and miniseries and a never-ending stable of true crime podcasts. The story of Fox News chairman Roger Ailes getting ousted from Fox News during the Me Too movement after 20-plus Fox employees and former employees came out about sexual harassment and assault claims against him seems like a perfect story for all three, movies, TV shows, and true crime-style podcasts. And because of that, we got inundated with a never-ending list of them. By the time Bombshell came out in 2019, there had already been a Showtime series called The Loudest Voice with Naomi Watts as Gretchen Carlson, Russell Crowe as Roger Ailes, and Seth MacFarlane as Ailes VP Brian Lewis, which came out just 6 months before Bombshell, and a documentary called Divide and Conquer in 2018. Ailes died in 2017, out of Fox News and living in Palm Beach after falling and hitting his head.
They have a contractual right to monitor our communications. A hotline in this building is like a complaint box in occupied Paris.
Bombshell began development in 2017, with Jay Roach, who directed movies like Austin Powers and Meet the Parents, but also the 2015 movie Trumbo, as the director, and Charles Randolph, who co-wrote The Big Short with Adam McKay as the screenwriter, starring Charlize Theron as Megyn Kelly, Nicole Kidman as Gretchen Carlson, John Lithgow as Roger Ailes, as well as Margot Robbie, Allison Janney, Connie Britton, Kate McKinnon, Malcolm McDowell as Rupert Murdoch, Mark Duplass, Richard Kind, and Rob Delaney. The cast is stacked, and I do have to say it seems like they spent more money casting this thing and doing prosthetics than anything else. The performances are pretty great, especially Nicole Kidman, Charlize Theron, and John Lithgow. The movie does a good job explaining how untouchable Roger Ailes was for a long time. Ailes was originally a small-time Philadelphia and then Cleveland TV producer. He was plucked out of obscurity as executive producer of The Mike Douglas Show at age 27, when he got into a heated argument with Richard Nixon, who was going on the show as a guest, and who downplayed the importance of TV to him while getting ready for his appearance. The legend is that Ailes listed off every single mistake Nixon made running for president in 1960, and was immediately asked to join Nixon's 1968 campaign as a media consultant. He then came up with a media strategy that allowed Nixon to debate the issues on TV without actually having to deal with the media at all.
That is why I say that when we talk about law and order, which I am strongly for, because I do not think you can have progress without order, and I do not think you can have freedom without order. But at the same time, you must couple that with justice. You must couple it with justice and progress, because only if you have justice and progress and the hope that an individual can get out of that ghetto where he lives, that he can go up and not just stay where he is, only if he has that hope is he going to be less susceptible to the revolutionary arguments of the Rap Browns and the rest.
The Nixon campaign invented the modern town hall when they recruited a bunch of people who mostly already supported Nixon, except the occasional person who they picked to be a weak liberal voice Nixon could shoot down to ask him questions. But the campaign would control every aspect of production, keeping the media from having any actual control over it. Ailes then tried and failed to build a right-wing media network with Joseph Kors, Television News, Inc., which folded in just 9 months. Ailes worked on Reagan's 1984 campaign and George H.W. Bush's 1988 campaign, where he worked with Lee Atwater of Southern Strategy fame. Ailes then went to go work for NBC, first as president of CNBC, then founding the America's Talking Network, which would end up eventually becoming MSNBC. In 1995, Ailes left NBC, possibly because an internal review had him calling David Zaslav a little Jew prick. In 1996, Ailes joined Rupert Murdoch's Fox News as chairman, a role he'd have for 20 years until his departure in 2016 under the weight of 20-plus sexual harassment allegations.
Roger needs you. Your silence is being noticed.
Well, the whole point of an investigation is to find the truth, Janine. Until that happens, I don't have a lot to say.
If this charge sticks, the working assumption will be every woman that Fox got down on her knees.
Fox News definitely fit very awkwardly into the Me Too movement. Stories about Ailes and pretty much every male host and executive at Fox News have been leaked at various times. But Fox News was famously litigious and very good at writing contracts that made it impossible to speak out and be heard in court. Ironically, of course, one of the big first stories that Fox News covered so relentlessly in their drive for partisan gain that damaged lives and reputations was the Monica Lewinsky scandal. Monica Lewinsky wrote that it was Fox News' coverage that made her consider suicide.
One of the things people love about you is you speak your mind and you don't use a politician's filter. However, that is not without its downsides, in particular when it comes to women. You've called women you don't like fat pigs, dogs, slobs, and disgusting animals.
What is she doing?
Your Twitter account
only
has
Rosie
several...
O'Donnell.
Bombshell is an interesting time capsule into the time period that caused a big reshuffling at Fox, just as Donald Trump won the Republican primary. Using real-life footage such as the RNC and real Trump debate moments, with a narrative story where actors dramatize the events. Fox News, as conservative America's news network, believed itself to be the most fortified against the Me Too movement. And it's interesting to remember the Trump primary, including when Trump said Megyn Kelly had blood coming out of her eyes, blood coming out of her wherever, was happening simultaneously to the Me Too movement and the fall of Roger Ailes. As I say, though, Fox News always fit uncomfortably into that movement. And the versions of Megyn Kelly and Gretchen Carlson that emerge here are definitely more sympathetic than I think they deserve. There's an interesting conundrum at the center of the story, and Bombshell touches it, but the sympathy given to Megyn Kelly especially obscures some of it. The political ideology that Fox News and its anchors promote has made life worse for women and minority groups of all kinds in a myriad of ways, and to some degree their anchors are complicit with that. A set of ultimately unresolvable contradictions exist for a woman at Fox News looking to get ahead even without sexual harassment to worry about. Personified by Megyn Kelly having to bend over backwards to appease Trump after he repeatedly attacks her on Twitter. Her own fans begin attacking her for attacking Trump. Although you have to sympathize to some degree, and nobody deserves harassment, it's also like the leopard eating face party guy who says, "I didn't think the leopard would eat my face." They do try to engage with that a bit, showing Megyn Kelly's Santa is white panel, but I wish they had been able to engage with it more.
You have to adopt the mentality of an Irish street cop. The world is a bad place. People are lazy morons. Minorities are criminals. Sex is sick but interesting. Ask yourself what would scare my grandmother or piss off my grandfather. And that's a Fox story.
It's interesting to remember who was on Fox at that point, though, and how few of them are still there. Megyn Kelly was out at Fox News by 2017 and joined NBC, where, like Rob Delaney's character says in this, he couldn't get the Fox News stink offer and left by 2019. The film also tries to put more of a positive spin on what happened at Fox News after Ailes was ousted than I think they deserve. If anything, the era where Megyn Kelly and Bill O'Reilly, also ousted for sexual harassment, got replaced by Tucker Carlson, was more of a cesspool, at least in terms of content. The era of reforming Fox News to make it more woman-friendly appeared to be extremely brief. By 2019, when Bombshell came out, it was a very different cultural moment than 2016. It made $61 million at the box office from a budget of $32 million, which was seen as a disappointing result. Margot Robbie was nominated for Best Supporting Actress, Charlize Theron for Best Actress, and it won for Best Makeup and Hairstyling at the 2020 Oscars.
You built an amazing business. No one can take that away from you. But under the circumstances, this is a lot of money. And it won't look good to the people that don't know your worth. Take it. Honor your non-compete.
Before I introduce the panel, please like this video and subscribe to the Movie Night Extravaganza YouTube channel. Then hit that bell to get notified whenever we're streaming. Super chats are now open. If you have any pressing questions, send us a super chat, which helps me maintain the expenses for the show, which I'm obligated by the rules of the Geneva Convention to stop everything and ask the panel. Another way to help us out is to become a patron and give us money every month. In exchange, you get access to all of our after parties, bonus content, and we'll tell you even more movies we watched recently. Patreon.com/Movie Night Extra. We have a Movie Night Extravaganza Discord. There's an invite link in the episode description, and we have a Letterboxd HQ account. So those are two more places to follow along with us. Okay, let me introduce the illustrious panel. Christina Oakes is a co-host of Movie Night Extravaganza and a Twitch streamer. You can find her streaming at twitch.tv/cosmopolitics. All of her social media accounts are also at cosmopolitics. She's on Twitter, Instagram, and Blue Sky, and even occasionally on Letterboxd. Julia Langer is an actress, comedian, and content creator who's on social media as well as YouTube and Twitch at Anxious Sprout. Is one of the reactors on the React channel, as well as being featured on Jubilee. I, of course, am your host, and the nebbish worried guy at Fox News, who's willing to let everyone get sexually harassed as long as I keep my job, Forrest Miller. You know why we dress soldiers the same? So everyone knows they're replaceable. Conan is currently on tour, but his album, The Way of the Neutron, was just released on Bandcamp. You should go to neutronfriends.bandcamp.com and order it today. Yep. I did not care for this movie at all. I'm just going to start with that. By the way, what up, Julia? Welcome to the show. Yeah. Welcome to the hot seat.
I know.
All the doggos, welcome to the hot seat.
Thank you. It's just true. Yep, that's a good spot. I'm dog sitting, and this is like a skinwalker behind me that you will witness at some points. Yeah, I agree. That's actually the most proper way to start off this discussion of this film. Women, directed by man.
Yeah.
If you ever were like, white woman, live, laugh, love, rights, this is the movie for you.
Yes.
Yeah. With all the women, that, ended up voting for Trump, the 51 or 52%. More white women voted for Trump than didn't. That's an insane thing in 2024.
Everyone in this film. I literally was like, I didn't even know. Like, I was trying to, like, I couldn't tell them apart. There were so many white women. I was overwhelmed saying that. Yeah. I was just like, wow.
The only thing that was missing was the Gretchen Carlson fake tan on Nicole Kidman, but she doesn't look good with the tan, so they just left that be for her.
Yeah. I wonder if they tried it out. I wonder if there's, like, you know, they tried out different levels of tan. Nicole Kidman would not look good with the tan.
No. She looked the least, like, between Charlize Theron and Nicole Kidman, Nicole Kidman looked the least like who she was supposed to be.
I think this was the last movie I watched in theaters before COVID, and I had to live with that.
The last one I did was Birds of Prey.
They have a version of this that came out 6 months before, like another version of it, and it was Naomi Watt, who does, I mean, you know, besides the Australian accent, could easily play like a Fox News personality, but they had her as Gretchen Carlson. They had Russell Crowe as Roger Ailes, I'm pretty sure.
Had like the Infinity Stones of like white women appear for this movie.
Yeah,
but they're all these are all very liberal. Like, these are all the most libbed up white women. Like, I mean, Margot Robbie, and then Kate McKinnon from SNL. I couldn't think of her name for a second because I feel like her name blends into all the other. But like, they just have it's literally all liberals playing the Fox News people, which I think is where this movie like falls apart from the beginning, because there's no conservative to be like, well, this is really what Fox News is like, which is like whatever. Yeah. I mean, it doesn't really matter, but like, I don't know, it's like a libbed up version of Fox News. Like, they have like Kate McKinnon, just like tough guy Kate McKinnon, walking through being like, yeah, this is I'm lesbian, you see, and I love Hillary Clinton, but I do work at Fox and no one else would hire me.
This is like the Amelia Perez for like liberals cosplaying like freaking.
She's just tweeting out like slurs. She's like, yeah, fuck it, I work at Fox News now.
I love that it was so brave of Kate McKinnon's character to be like a Hillary supporter. That was like the big like, a Democrat?
Awesome. Fox? What is this? I mean, one from the five?
I would guess there are a lot of Democrats that work for, I mean, you know, like,
interns and stuff. Yeah, because it's like they want to work in media and they know probably Fox News probably pays the most. So
it also,
I think it's ironic that it's in New York City, despite the fact they always bitch about New York City. I'm like, you are literally bitching about being in a liberal bastion. Go to Texas or Florida. Go to CNN, which is in Atlanta.
We had these protests in 2017 or 2018, back when like Antifa was like a big thing, where we had these protests where
Antifa.
this kind of obese pizza lady let like this cop's kid that doesn't even live in this town, like a cop from like a nearby town, spray paint like a flag mural on the side of her building, and people protested. It was like, you know, it was like peak, like anything you could do to protest like the Trump regime number one. So we had people like marching, you know, up and down our like main street, because we only have like one big main street, and they were all in black. And Laura Ingraham did a whole segment on it where she interviewed that cop, and she interviewed who's like my friend's like uncle or something. something, I guess. I didn't know that at the time. But also interviewed the pizza lady. And she started, like, talking about how this is, like, a bumfuck rural town. She's like, oh, you might not know, like, New Paltz. And it's like, this is an hour and a half from the city, bro. Like, this is not...
It's this like suburb. Like, it's not rural. Like, what the
fuck? I mean, it's kind of rural, but like she made it seem like we're out in the hinterlands. And it's like you can literally take a bus to New York City. Like, I mean, you know, from the middle of
North Jersey's the same way. Like, I'll never forget Pride and like North Jersey where I grew up. Like, it was like, do you live in Manhattan? Like, come to the countryside. I was like, every county in New Jersey is classified technically like urban. Like, there's not a single like remote place in New Jersey
borough or township, you know, like
yeah, well, my town's like kind of rural, but it's like, you know, like it's still kind of like, it's like kind of in the middle of that. Like, we have like a lot of farmland and stuff, but it's like, but it's still, it's an hour and a half from the city, and everyone that lives here either commutes to the city or like it's college students that come from the city. So it's like, but she tried to make it seem like we were like hicks in the rural nowhere. She's like, you might not have heard of New Paltz because it's one of those small towns. And it's like, but she's saying that clearly because it's a liberal small town, you know what I mean? Like, so she's
was she portrayed in this movie?
No, she wasn't.
That's weird. Like, if anyone was going to defend Trump and Roger Ailes, would have been her, you know?
Like, they didn't seem to betray the big people that are still there. Like, there's no Tucker Carlson that was, you know, skulking Judge around Jeanine the background. Is still on there.
Wait, they also portray Jesse Waters, I think, too.
I didn't pay that much attention.
It's just too many people to keep up with, but it's like, oh, there's
some people missing. A lot of them are just like 1 second gags.
Yeah. It's like, oh, it's like the Leonardo DiCaprio being like, oh, I know that person. I know that person. Oh, Alana, you're back. Cool.
That was the biggest like casting flex ever. Like, I bet like Allison Jones was sitting there like, hell yeah, day player for like this much money. Let's get it.
Yeah. Let's
get that.
They had you know, like the League. They have Mark Duplass from the League. Like, and then they have his wife. They have his wife, Katie. And she's the one that the one that walks up to Gretchen Carlson or whatever and is like, I think that what you're doing is wrong. But you know, that's how liberals, like, you know, liberals wrote this movie based on that fact. Like, no, just it's like, they're like,
we're going to be more aggressive too. Like, bitch, you fucking messing with our formula here. Like,
this is like the most, like, we're still seeing on TikTok, like, white women that are like, I wear a blue wristband to signify that I'm an ally. Like, this movie was like the writing equivalent of Hollywood being like, we stand with women. Therefore, everyone on production is a man, but the story is about women.
Like, imagine like Greta Gerwig like did like made this movie. Like, it probably would have been 10 times better.
I think it's hilarious because, you know, like, it was like very much like that, like, boomer white lady with the Trader Joe's at the farmer's market that was like, honey, you gotta see this new film. She's like, in like a rural town in Massachusetts, she's like, this is us. I mean, I respect that they even did it. I have to say, like, I sound always so bitter, which is always the comments that I get, like, even at React. I had blue hair for one episode and people were like, this liberal.
Yes.
Like, I'm not negative. I'm not that negative. I just think it's hilarious because, like, now where we are now.
He just making a joke about his dad dying on 9/11. That was, like, the only time you laughed, but that was funny.
Because it's fun. No, but I was just like, I feel like where we are then versus now, I'm like, holy shit, that was, like, 5 years ago. This movie came out and we're still in a worse hell.
Yeah.
It's portraying 2016 and it feels like we're in a long 2016. So that when they made this movie and they released it in 2019, it's like, well, we're still kind of in 2016. And then you watch it now and it's like, yeah, we're still kind of in 2016.
Yeah. And it's interesting too, because I forgot that Jay Roach directed this movie, and I kept thinking to myself, like, I mean people in the Letterboxd reviews were complaining like, Adam McKay is the worst thing to happen to film since MCU. It's this. I'm like, yeah, but here's the thing, he didn't create that style of filmmaking. I'm like, talking to the camera, that's something that's been used in so many other movies. Maybe the editing is very similar, but shit works is something that's not new in filmmaking, especially when you're talking about real. I mean, Goodfellas. There were times where he was talking about the camera.
It's the guy that wrote The Big Short with Adam McKay that wrote the script for this. So it makes a lot of sense that it kind of has a similar vibe. I didn't know that at the time, and I was like, yeah, this kind of reminds me of an Adam McKay movie in the way that they edited it and like shot it, and the way that they have kind of the walk and talk to the camera kind of thing. But then it's like, oh, it's the same. It's the Big Short guy, like that did it with them. So that makes a, you know.
Every other movie is not cinema. Marvel is movie making. Screw film schools, screw anything. That is our baseline for movies. They did their own research.
I still remember when Scorsese called it like theme parks. Like he was like, you know, Marvel is essentially theme park, like theme park movies. And I was like, yeah, kind of. And then I remember everyone on Twitter being like, he said what? And they were getting all mad. It's like, kind of is though. Like,
but he's not, though, because those are the movies, unfortunately, that bring people to the theater.
Yeah,
like that, it's true though. That's what's keeping the theaters open.
I was watching The Founder, like the McDonald's the movie about Ray Kroc, like the other day, and I was like, holy shit, movies from like 2014 to 2019 had this distinct feel, which is like insane cast, like weird direction style, but then they have like a lighthearted music and it's like based on a real story. And like looking back, it's like, wow, that is definitely a choice that we lived. And this feels like it's under that scheme of it where you're like,
This feels like it's the end of that, right? Like it feels like the last gasp of this kind of filmmaking that like started kind of in 2014 with like The Big Short was one of the early ones. I mean, in the Blind Side. But like this style of stuff where it's like they get a big cast of usually liberals to like play different characters that are usually kind of scumbags, and they like tell you a story about something that happened like, you know, fairly recently or like a little while back that like started, you know, something as we know it or whatever. And I feel like that this is like the last gasp of that. And because of that, it's like the most bankrupt kind of shitty version of it too. It's like,
yeah, they really could have made this into a mini series because there's so much more details. Like they didn't even cover most of like the Bill O'Reilly stuff, which has been going on even before Me Too. What now?
Yeah,
I remember when the story broke. I remember when the story broke during the Me Too, and I kept thinking to myself, something's gotta give at Fox News. Something's gonna come out about someone from Fox News, and lo and behold, Roger Ailes, Bill O'Reilly. Yeah, Bill O'Reilly, I mean, Roger Ailes, you know, Jon Stewart still puts Bill O'Reilly on The Daily Show to interview him. And I'm like, why? I'm like, this guy, he's on News Nation. I'm like, this guy should not have a career after the falafel thing, first of
all. It's so fucking funny. It is so fucking funny that there's a place called News Nation, and it's literally just a farm upstate for Chris Cuomo and for Bill O'Reilly. Like, they set them up to a news guy farm upstate. No one's ever watched it.
I'm dead.
Misfit pundits. All the people that get banned from Fox, MSNBC, mainstream media, they go to News Nation and they have their shows there. And I'm like, who is this for?
I'm dead. They literally do. Don Lemon. They do send them to a farm upstate, though, which is so funny.
Yeah.
What happened? It's okay, sweetie. He just went on vacation to a farm upstate. Don Lemon, I just can't with them. I had a college professor that like talked about how he like met or like had to like babysit Don Lemon for a weekend because they were like having come in and the whole thing. And he's like, fuck Don Lemon. Like he left for a grinder. I was like, whoa.
probably.
Spill the tea.
He was like, he's so nice on camera. But like this professor had like a personal vendetta. And here I am still spilling the vibes of that. But it was like, I was like, you would have thought Don Lemon like killed this professor's like family. I was like,
I mean, maybe he did. Maybe he, I mean, he seems like someone who has hit someone with a car at one point and like, or like had a driver or like gotten his driver drunk and his driver hit someone with a car. And then he like, he seems like he would be, cause he gets fucked up. Like I remember seeing the one time I watched Anderson Cooper and him and like they were all Andy Cohen. They were all on New Year's or whatever. The one time I was enough of a loser to watch, you know, like the entirety of
the one time scene is fun to watch.
They get fucked up. I remember the Andy Cohen clip where he was like mad drunk and he's like fuck Bill de Blasio.
Oh my god. But you know what's so weird that like Me Too is such a libbed up thing in my opinion because nothing really happened afterwards. I mean, yeah, Harvey Weinstein and Bill Cosby went to prison. But even then, there's not a whole lot that happened, especially when it came to, like, the media. personalities, yeah, like Bill O'Reilly and Roger Ailes. Even when Roger Ailes died, they still mourned him and cried for him like he was some great, like, messiah that, you know, of course he founded Fox News.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
and MSNBC.
And MSNBC.
Well, I feel like the
Me Too was a Broadway producer too.
Yeah. The Me Too movement was kind of, I feel like, the most like, well, they did really bad things, but like, I do kind of bad things, but definitely not bad as that. And like, yeah, that's Me Too. What I do is just make people uncomfortable. And it's like, well, it's still, and we just like, well, never.
Speaking of that, Margot Robbie didn't know that just sexual harassment was something that was like something you could get fired for. She thought that it was normal for like these men to like hit on women. In a way, she's like, I just thought it would be like, I think I remember looking into it. She said that she thought it was like sexual assault that was the problem, but she didn't know much about sexual harassment. I guess that's not a thing in Australia. Awesome. Well, good for you.
I was going to say, they're not creeps. They're just Italian.
Yo, it's crazy that Cuomo's like back out there and it's all the same people endorsing him that were like, sir, you need to resign for your federal and state crimes and your sexual harassment. And the exact same people are like, they're like, I think he's gonna be a great mayor. And it's like, didn't you just like, we could see the whatever, the receipts, like we could see the statements you guys all put out. And it doesn't do anything because, yeah, like, Cuomo's not going to answer a single fucking question from a reporter he doesn't like.
Yeah. It's crazy.
He knows every single one of them at this point. Like, yeah, I don't know. He was my governor for like 11 years.
Yeah. So my biggest issue, obviously, was how sympathetic, at least, Megyn Kelly was portrayed. Mm. Knowing, especially now, she's, you know, sucking Trump's dick. Like, you know, she wasn't doing that back in 2016.
Yeah.
They should have made her like cold, she has like this cold, distant type of like demeanor towards herself. So I'm like, they should have really went honing on that a little bit more.
I'm not a Fox or a cable news person, really. So yeah, like I've seen, obviously, like, you know, whenever something happens,
Santa is white.
I've seen that, but she was considered like more of the responsible face, yeah, of Fox News at the time, yeah, right? Like,
yeah.
And
then also, well, Gretchen Carlson used to did like the morning Fox and Friends at first.
Yeah.
She got her own show.
She was the first Ainsley Earhart or whatever, right?
Yeah.
I remember when she was having her, because I really like, so like, I zeroed in on politics more than anything else. I mean, 2008, I guess I was like into it because I was like, I want Obama to win as like an eighth grader or something. But like, yep, 2016 was when I really was like paying attention. Like, I was in college, like, you know, all the classes I was in, they're like, you should be paying more attention to this, everybody. So like, I really like started really paying attention. I remember Gretchen Carlson's meltdown, which was just like, she was like, I support gun control and maybe it's not the worst thing if women have rights. And then I remember being like, oh, this broad's not gonna last very long.
they're like women should have rights, and you're like, this fucking broad, get her up. Women,
yeah.
Show, yeah, some leg.
Yeah. Well,
run around. Well, I
mean, people have compared Fox News as softcore porn for boomer men. They literally tell the women how to dress. You got to show leg. You got to show a little bit cleaner. Yeah. You got to show plenty of arm. You know, like, the way, yeah, these women dress. I mean, I don't really think the liberal personalities that come and go on Fox News dress as much, because a lot of them are just sitting and not standing, like, yeah, behind like a desk. Well,
they do the clear desks. Like, that is, yeah, a real thing.
I'm like, am I the only one who knows that this is a major problem here? Like, you don't understand it. But also, a lot of that went up to Roger Ailes. That was like a lot of his ideas, how women have to be somewhat tantalizing to the viewer. And I'm like,
yeah,
why? You're giving the news.
That's TV in general. I mean, a big thing with Fox News is that it's like, blocked. I mean, it's literally for the elderly, right? Like, more than anywhere else. Like, it's nursing homes, yes, that really are the ones that keep Fox News on. So all of their like commercials and stuff are like, you know, different drug ads for like, yes, pharmaceutical companies, because they know that old people are going to go to there.
Get rid of, so that's not gonna be good for them. Yeah. Where they gonna get all that ad revenue?
I think at some point he's gonna get too close to the big pharma flame and they're gonna cut him off.
Yeah,
like, they're like, no one likes that voice either. He's like, I don't know more pharmaceutical ads.
Oh my god. Yeah.
But it's
Oh, sorry. No, you go.
No, I was just going to say, so it's like, you know, specifically with Fox News, it's like drug ads are like their bread and butter, especially like stuff like, you know, for like,
my pillow ads.
Yeah. Well, and my pillow. But they get like a lot. Yeah.
I get emails from them and I'm like, why? Who put my email in?
Well, it's like when I was getting Biden 2020 text messages and I scrolled down the bottom and said, this was sent to by TYT. And I'm like, oh.
Damn.
Yeah, because they sold their newsletter or their email list to Biden. But I still I didn't know anything about MyPillow until he started like coming out and being like, I used to smoke crack, now I sell pillows. And it's
you're like, okay, also the American dream, truly.
A tangent about MyPillow real second. You can make your own MyPillow because it's just like clumps of foam sewn into like a pillow cover. Like that's it.
Wait,
like you can hide your crack.
Yeah, if you tear it apart,
you don't can tell people see that they can make it. We have to sell. We live in capitalism. They must buy.
Sell, sell, sell. Buy, buy, buy. But like, still, I don't know. Yeah.
No, but I was going to say, I'm still so amazed by the makeup in this movie. Yeah. Like, again, that was most of the budget, that was probably.
That's a very deserved...
oh my God, sorry.
Yeah, that's a very deserved Oscar that they got in there for...
Yeah,
for the prosthetics and stuff. I found this. I'll play this. It's the guy. The guy did Norbit. That was like his thing. And he did the Grinch. He did Jim Carrey's Grinch makeup. I'll play a few. I'll play a couple minutes.
The CIA involved.
Part of the Carrey. Yeah.
So this is the guy. He does prosthetics. And
the hard part of the character makeup is I'm changing someone into another person. Anyone can point out what's wrong with it. Without knowing what's wrong with it. So that's a tough part. My name is Kazuhiro. I am a prosthetic designer. If an actor wants to change their look to portray a character more than like a beauty makeup can do, that's when I will come into the set. I started as a special effects makeup artist. In 2012, I got sick of the film industry and I left the film industry and started the fine art. Then I came back to the film industry again. When I was in high school, I contacted Dick Smith, who is the Amadeus and the Godfather. I learned from him and I started in Japan. I worked with Akira Kurosawa. I didn't like the situation in Japan because they don't have enough time and budget. So I decided to move to United States. I worked on Men in Black, Grinch, Click, Norbit. I was nominated for the Oscar. And recently I worked on The Darkest Hour and Bombshell. And I got Oscar for both movies. To do a character makeup, I will need to know anatomy and also makeup technique and the sculpting. And also hair work. I started to use a computer and also photographing. Recently, computer technology is so advanced. We can combine prosthetic makeup with a computer and we can do something that we couldn't do in like 10 years ago. Right after I finished Mindhunter, Charis contacted me about the project because Charis was a producer of Mindhunter too. Charis convinced me to be on set every day because it was really tricky makeup because especially like applying eyelids, such a delicate area, moving all the time and such a delicate thin skin. And if it's applied wrong way, it will affect the next day. So Megyn Kelly has a heavier eyelid compared to Charis. So I had to change the eyelids on Charis and also nostril size. Megyn Kelly has a bigger nostril. The first thing I did was took an impression of inside of her nostril. That form, I scanned it and put in a computer program and I made this nose plug. So on set, I can put this, you can see like one side is bigger because I put on this side. This is a head cast of Charis. I can use the same color clay and build the form onto it. We take an impression of the actor's face with the silicone, and then silicone is a flexible material. We put a press bandage on top of it. to reinforce the flexibility. During that time, actor will be breathing only through their nostril. The whole process will take about 25 minutes. And then in that impression mode, we pour resin and make a mold of it. And in that mold, we pour plaster and make this copy. This is a printout of Charisse's face. When we do a physical life cast, the weight of the material pull down the face a little bit because his face is so soft. And if we put the heavy stuff on it, it would distort the face. And the great thing about the scan, it won't, that nothing touches it. So that's why we can make an eye open or with expression. And then from that data, we print this out. When they act, they really have to believe in them, how capable they are and what they can do. Megyn Kelly is really famous, and Charisse is also very famous. And the audience knows what they look like. It was very important to convince audience and also help Charisse to be really immersed into the character and portray Megyn Kelly. Charisse's makeup took like 2 hours and a half.
Yeah. So that was like the, yeah.
I need to see this guy's house. I need to see the inside of his house. I need to know how many nose prosthetics he has.
Yeah.
He probably has like a whole, he probably has an office full, like a studio.
Speaking of like Charlize, a lot of people thought that was Elizabeth Banks playing
I get them Megan. Confused, I think.
Yeah.
A little bit. Yeah.
But I was looking, I was like, yeah, I can see why people thought that it was actually Elizabeth Banks playing Megyn Kelly.
Yeah.
I mean, I know what Charlize Theron looks like, but I feel like I used to get them, like, I don't know, because they were, like, in a lot of the same. And then there's another actress that I get confused with, Elizabeth Banks, too. I feel like there's more, I feel like she looks like a lot of actresses. But she could play a Fox News person.
Yeah.
She was really good as, yeah.
In what's it called? I forgot. Pitch Perfect. She kind of played like that type of like annoying, like, oh, these girls suck. Like,
yeah. Or I was thinking in 30 Rock when she's Jack Donaghy's wife or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like because they're in the same kind of movies at one point, like when I was like a lot younger, I get her and like Katherine Heigl mixed up because they were in all the same fucking movies.
Katherine Heigl could also play a Fox News. I mean, she kind of played like a media personality and Knocked Up, but like that's
from again, I feel like they just like collected all of the like the, I feel like they all just like looked so similar, which makes sense because Fox News is the same way. But I must say this makeup guy is such a baller. Like I just feel like he's the best. He's just like, well, I was doing this and then I just felt like doing this and won an Oscar, but it's fine. And you're like,
he was like, I won two Oscars, but you said it like such so casually that
you have Oscars for make like that's like, I mean, this guy was in retirement. I think it was Charlize Theron that convinced him, like, get out of retirement. We need you. You're only hope.
I love he was just like, Japan doesn't have money and I wanted money, so here it is. Now I won an Oscar.
Yeah, well, he said money for budgets for films too. Like it's crazy that he wasn't, you know, he wasn't just like, I want money for me. Like he was like, I want money to be able to like do cooler stuff on movies.
Yeah. But he's very dedicated to his craft. Like he was like, here's, you know, mold 3D scanners. I'm like, I feel like if you're gonna do prosthetics to try to completely transform a person, you're gonna need all that as a good baseline and a guide to see what needs to be done.
Well, he was saying he got trained by like Dick Smith or whatever, like the famous, that's one of the most famous makeup artists, like whatever, like special effects artists in the world for the longest time that like trained all these other artists. And that was like a cool part of his thing. But then it's like, I think what happened is because I was reading about it earlier, I think what happened is he did The Grinch and he did Click. In both those movies, he was like, he was like, I don't feel artistically fulfilled by this, so he left and he was like, I'm out of here. And then I think Gary Oldman, when he was supposed to do he was doing like the movie where he made Gary Oldman into Winston Churchill, and Gary Oldman was like, you have to get back into the game, and he's like, I guess I'm back into the game.
And then he won an Oscar.
This guy is like legendary. He's like, I don't feel like it. And people are like, but you're good. And he's like, okay.
Like, we need you for one last job. And he's like,
yeah, he's there like, you go.
Okay. That's so baller. And also I like that it's just like, what is it, Norbit,
yeah.
It's just like the most I would have
quit after those two, because you could see what he was working on when he was like younger, when he was working on like these big like sci-fi epics or whatever, and then it's like, yeah, we need you to make Eddie Murphy fat. He's like
literally
like, you know, Tyler Perry's been getting all the credit for being fat, and we think that Eddie Murphy could get credit for being fat too, so like, yeah, we need you to make him professor fat.
Yeah, sure. That's so awesome.
Eddie Murphy does do a good fat guy though. Or yeah, fat like woman, fat guy. Fat. Anyway.
Click like made me cry as a kid. That was like the first movie that genuinely made me like cry.
Yeah, this is sad. I like when he goes in there, it's Christopher Walken talking to him in the void or
whatever. Yeah, you're like crazy.
I love the bit in Tropic Thunder where they make Jack Black do his own version of like Norbit.
Yeah.
So he's like the entire fat family.
That's funny.
And that's so, like, where his heroin addiction comes from.
So one thing I notice about this film is that, of course, there's quite a few pitfalls. But one thing I did notice, even though Jay Roach is a male director, he did his best to make sure Margot Robbie felt comfortable during the scene with John Lithgow's Roger Ailes, where he's like, where she has to lift up her skirt. They didn't shoot that scene multiple times. They had different cameras showing because he didn't want her filming that scene over and over and over and over again. And even she said that was the most uncomfortable scene she's ever done. Granted, this is the woman who did full nudity at 22 years old in Wolf of Wall Street. So
yeah,
that's actually crazy.
Yeah, and that's the most uncomfortable she's ever felt on set, is having to do that, you know, lift up the skirt to show the panties.
Well, I'm glad that they also now, I don't know if they had an intimacy coordinator, but it seems like because of this, I will say a lot of like, because I have always have criticism about the Me Too movement of like, kind of similar, Christina, like there's more work to always be done. Yeah. But I do think it led for films to really take intimacy coordination seriously. And in something like that, for that scene, it's like, no longer do we have the time where it's like, okay, multiple cameras set up. Like, you actually can like go through it, and people don't realize, but like, I remember when I was working at Max, like, we had intimacy coordinators for sexual situations, but we also had racial intimacy coordinators for sensitivity and historical aspects, which again I think is really cool, because intimacy coordinators kind of branched out and were like, there's more to be sensitive to on set and like understand the consequences and like reasoning behind what we're doing. So
yeah,
I don't know. I just think it's cool that like that's the vibe now. Because, and also for all genders, like not just women, but like anyone.
Yeah.
I'm trying to see if there's like a intimacy coordinator listed for this movie, because I feel like 2019 might be. Oh yeah, all right. So it did. So the 2019 film Bombshell used intimacy coordinator Marcy Doherty to ensure safe and ethical handling of intimate scenes, a common practice post Me Too. So yeah, so. Okay. I hate the phrase post Me Too. It's like, oh, you guys are done. Yeah. Y'all done with this?
They're done? Mission accomplished, I guess.
So yeah, so I guess she's the intimacy coordinator that they used that is in a lot of these productions.
Yeah. I mean,
I feel like you'd have to, though, right? Like, this movie in particular, I feel like it's have an intimacy.
Yeah. I mean, this movie had like an all male like production, or like, and we had male director, writer, etc. So I wouldn't put it past it, but that is positive.
I mean, Mikey Madison didn't have an intimacy coordinator for Anora, but that's because she kept saying that, you know, Sean Baker was reenacting, showing them how to do the sex scenes. And then, I mean, I thought that movie is about chess, the one with Timothée Chalamet and Gwyneth Paltrow. She's like, we had a lot of sex in that movie. We didn't have an intimacy coordinator. I'm like, I thought this movie is about chess. What?
It's like when films have like the PETA warning, and you're like, why? Or the Humane Society, and like, what the fuck was in this? And it's always like a bug, and you're like, are you?
Yeah. Oh, they ate meat. Okay, like
no, like I asked my friend who worked on a film that it said like this is compliant with the Humane Society, and I was like, there was not a single four-legged creature, and she's like, there was a beetle in one scene and we had to like go find a beetle lady that was compliant to ensure the safe. And I was like, that is fucking hilarious.
I want to see like the one guy that's like, we're not going to give in to these woke humane society people. We're gonna use animals and we're not, yeah. We don't care.
Like beefing.
Yeah. I will say another thing. What kind of upsets me though about this film is that it does show that there are women at Fox News who just didn't give a fuck about what happened to the women that did come forward. Like Janine's like, yeah. You gotta support the man. And you're not blonde.
She's too drunk.
You're not getting sexually harassed. So shut the fuck up, Janine. I mean,
listen, it goes
she makes back. It sound like she. You make it sound like she's like, of course he wants us. It's like, Judge Dean, I don't think he wants you. Like,
yeah, you're not blonde. Now you're blonde.
I was like, then we return to the concept of our most recent election in which we go, do you guys not see this? And they go, pay raise? I didn't see anything. And you're like,
You know the Squidward meme where it's like, I ain't seen nothing anyone ever puts on sometimes.
Yeah.
That was like the white woman of Fox, yeah.
I feel like one of the things that I don't think it does a great job showing Fox, right? Like, I think it does do a good job showing sexual harassment I feel like it does show how the sexual harassment stuff starts and how like the intersection between kind of being like, oh, I'm a guy that's really into like loyalty and I'm really into visual, like I feel like it does a good job with that part of it, but it also does a good job with like showing the different sides where it's like, you know, there's a lot of women that are just afraid to come forward. Fox News really was just like a walking like sexual assault factory, it felt like, by the end of it. And it's like it's like one of those, like it felt like they were almost doing like an assembly line with sexual harassment where it's like new girl comes in, you cast her, and then you like, you know, you're like, let me see what I could do. Roger Ailes is like,
let me see those ankles.
400 pounds. Yeah, he's like 400 pounds. He's falling apart, and he's still like, I must actually harass one more woman.
One more.
It's funny with like Rupert Murdoch a lot, and there's like a Letterboxd one-liner that kind of I'll talk about later when we do the one-liners. But like people are like, did you know that Malcolm McDowell and Nicole Kidman both starred in Stanley Kubrick films? I'm like, yeah, I'm like, that'd be a fun fact. But the two dudes who played his sons are actually brothers in real life.
I don't know if I recognize them, but I didn't know that they were brothers.
Yeah.
What do you guys think about the portrayal of Rupert Murdoch? Because it makes Rupert Murdoch seem like more of a far more benevolent figure than he was. Like he was fine with Roger until it like was bad enough press. He was fine with Roger.
Yeah, he's all about business. Yeah. Like that's all he really cares about. Like he's not someone who's like. I feel like Rupert Murdoch is no worse than like Roger Ailes or whatever. Like he's just like, you know, pay no attention to the man behind the curtain like situation. Like he's, you know, he's running like the Sun. He's running like all these other right wing ish conservative media conglomerates or whatever. And he's not like, he knows when bad press is bad press.
It's fucking horrifying.
I feel like Roger Ailes was like the man behind the curtain guy because he was a prodigy of television to the point where like people were lining, I mean all the worst fucking people like Nixon and Reagan and all like George H.W. Bush, like he probably did the Willie Horton ads as like part of like the Southern strategy kind of thing that they were doing for Bush with Lee Atwater. But like he was like a TV prodigy where he was like one of the first, he was 27 when he got put on to as an executive producer of like a mainstream like the Mike Douglas show or whatever, and Nixon was in a chair and he's like leaning back and he's like, you know, he's like I really hate doing these, right? And fucking Roger Ailes actually listed every single mistake Nixon made on TV in the 1960
that
election,
first like fucking televised debate. He looked, I mean, even though he sounded more like he knew what he was talking about, it was Kennedy's look that stole the audiences. They're like, yeah, this guy's good. Let's get this guy elected.
Well, the thing about Nixon during that debate, he never did another debate after this, but like he had sepsis. He had his so he banged his knee on a car door and he had sepsis, and they were like, you need to go to the hospital. Like, you know, like when they do like a sitcom or something and the person's like dying in the car and they're like, no, you need to go to the hospital. So he went to the hospital and there, and he's like, look, Kennedy wouldn't put his campaign on ice, you know, no pun intended, for like a week or a couple weeks. They're like, they're like, no, you're like, you have an infection in your leg and you're going to die. And so then he banged his car, he banged his knee.
Man. Imagine how much history would have changed.
Literally.
He banged his knee on the car door a second time. And so like on the same knee. So it was so bad by the time he got there that he was sweating. He was infected. He had like a cold or something. He started getting sick. So like when you see him sweating and like looking disgusting, it's like, yeah, he was like on death's door for that.
Oh my God. And, man.
So he would never do another televised debate after that. And he would never go on TV and really answer questions. So the big thing that Roger Ailes came up with was that they did these stage town hall debates, which now they do on, you know, network TV all the time the same way. But they would get these, they would find these Nixon fans. And they'd be like, okay, we need one guy that's like a cab driver that's like racist. And we need like a liberal professor that's going to be like, actually, can you tell me about blah, blah, blah. Like, but then they know that like people aren't good at, like, you know, people that aren't media trained can't come up with those follow-up questions as fast.
Yeah. So
they knew that as long as they trained Nixon to do that, he was going to come up with these like rat-a-tat answers that, you know, would just knock the people down. Or they'd be like, oh, we need a black guy. And the black guy would be like, civil rights. And he'd be like, no, and like slap the guy down. So like,
everyone would be like, 1968, that was.
I feel and, like this walked. So like Jubilee videos and thus now we're in hell is what I'm hearing.
Oh, media training now, you know, it's very common, but at this point, like, it was just kind of the thing that they were coming up with on the fly. And Roger Ailes really excelled because he was someone who understood all these things and understood visuals, which of course in this movie is played up for, you know, how debauched it is by the end of his life, where he's like, oh, I want to see legs, but like he really was somebody that like his sense of the visual and his sense of what, you know, what would resound with audiences. And, you know, it wasn't like a linear track for him, because he literally had a version of Fox News that spiraled out in 9 months. Like, literally it went from, they were on TV every day to like, burr, 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 you know, like.
That's,
and there were times where he would also have his own show and everyone would be like, This guy is disgusting looking. Get this guy off.
He's gross. Get him off the TV. More legs.
Roger,
but you notice by the time it was, he's like, you know, he's a big part of Fox. He's in the background. He realized at that point that like he couldn't. Yeah. They don't want to see him.
I find it so interesting too. Just like, I mean, I guess with the 2016 stuff, it's like Harvey Weinstein was. It's just like all these like behind the scenes large producers. But again, kind of going back, it feels like, obviously COVID, it was much different, but like, it was kind of leading up. It was like, okay, we're getting them. And then now it's like, we've kind of, I feel like society and things just move on very quickly. Like, you're aware, it's like, oh, we're just sensitive. And any like large scale movement that's been happening for years and has a lot of history. But I feel like this was kind of like that tail end of it, of like, well, we got the big producers, so now we've got it. But it's like, you're just clipping the flowers of the plant. Like, you're not actually
Getting to Trump. My God, come on now.
Yeah, like
he's a confirmed rapist in the court of law. Like, he's president. Like, that man, come on, dog.
Like, I would understand if it was like, excuse all right, me, well,
I don't give a fuck.
women didn't vote for him, but like men did. You know what I mean? Like, but and that's like kind of the narrative they've gotten. But then like 55% of white women voted for Trump this time. Like,
they want him, and I don't get what the appeal is. I mean,
maybe he wants them to grab. Never mind.
it's like Elon Musk and his baby mamas. He's got new baby mama drama, and I'm like, just say baby the botched penis drama is real. Just say it. Just say it, Ashley St. Clair. That's what happened. But I mean, with the Me Too, it was interesting hearing like a lot of actresses in Hollywood regards to Harvey Weinstein, like Selma Hayek doing the Frida Kahlo movie. He wanted there to be a lesbian scene. I'm like, but who is this for?
Yeah.
Like, it was gross.
I feel like there's a certain amount of power too, whether it's someone like Roger Ailes or Harvey Weinstein, where it's a disgusting, just viscerally disgusting looking person, right? Who knows that because of their power, they're able to like force women to do stuff.
I mean, like, have you seen the compilation clips of people winning Oscars and thanking Harvey Weinstein? Because, and even they knew he was a piece of shit. They're like, you know, well, we got to thank Harvey because, you know, he's.
Yeah.
he's a scary guy. And then he did a thing with Jennifer Lawrence. She's like, we all know how Harvey is with the ladies. And I'm like, ew, yeah, Jennifer, what? No. Yeah,
well, they made a joke in 30 Rock. Jenna Maroney was like, and like, I don't think they had any proof or anything. Like Tina Fey later was like, it was just rumors, but they had Jenna Maroney be like, that reminds me of my dinner with Harvey Weinstein. And people went back to that and they're like, what did you guys know? And it's like, no, everybody knew that shit about Harvey Weinstein. They just didn't come out and say it, like, you know, yeah, until,
probably
yeah,
because they couldn't. Until...
but yes, there's like,
how many years Roger Ailes was doing that to, because I mean, Fox News,
I think the whole time.
It's kind of a revolving door. Like, you could go through the history of so many women on Fox News since 1996 when it was founded, I think. I can't believe CNN's older than Fox. But but you can see, like, looking through, like, the history of the women that have been Fox News, they come and go. But the men, I mean, Brian Kilmeade and Steve Ducey are still doing Fox and Friends in the mornings.
But I also feel like it was more jarring with Fox because they definitely, not to like generalize, but like especially those women, like kind of what you're saying, it's like, how could they just watch this go by? Like, I feel like those are exactly the women that were voting for Trump. And like, you know, you can look past it because that's how they are in the old days. You know, it's like, that's always been, boys will be boys, you know, like that's how it was. And so it was even jarring for like women from Fox to be like, you know, oh, that's such a sweet lonely. Is like basically like being like, even the worst, like they even too are like, this is fucked up. Like, it's like whenever someone who's like a right wing anything is like, this is fucked up, that's when you're like, oh. I think it was oh my god, Candace Owens said something recently.
Yes.
Comment section was like, why do I agree with Candace Owens? Like, I hate this. And it's like, that's how you know it's bad. I think it was like literally about like Palestine, and it was like, what is wrong that I agree with
her? My sister was like, Candace Owens is wrong about a lot of things, but her stance on Palestine, I'm like, yeah, but her stance on Palestine is at the expense of anti-Semitism against Israel. Not anti-Zionism, anti-Semitism. I'm like, there's a difference.
By the way, like, guess what day in 1996 that Fox News was officially founded and went on the air?
9/11.
No, October 7th. it's the second worst thing to ever happen on October
7th. Oh my god, next year is the 30th anniversary. Oh.
But yeah, no, I think, I don't know. Well, in Candace Owens' case, I think she's doing that because she knows that she can hook people that believe in, you know, the Palestinian cause and then like, you know, link in the anti-Semitism later. Yeah. But
we're like, in the case of, so far left, we turn right. I feel like so many people I know, they're like so far deep on the pipeline. Like, I saw a tweet recently that was like, I have liberal politics, but Republican sense of humor. And I was like, me, that is me right now. I feel like some of my friends and like people I know are like so far deep on it where I'm like, come on, like that sounds so fucked up. But like, sometimes it's like, you know, we've gone so far deep, and even commentaries on like Jubilee or other things, when people have them on like the 20v1 and people are like, how can you platform someone who's like this view,
like that Michael guy who works at Jubilee and keeps putting himself in there. I'm like,
but it's like one of those things where like, if we don't see them talk about what they're talking about and we enter into these like isolated bubbles, we'll never know what these people are saying. So like, I could block every far right whatever I want to, but unless I like it, but then I'll end up in this like dream world TikTok algorithm where like I'm like, oh nice, like we're all voting for Kamala, and then the election happens and it's like, oh, what? And so I feel like, I don't know.
The platform, like the platforming thing is always fucking annoying me, because when I worked for Ben as like his producer, like Ben Burgess, like his, like we would get shit all the time. Yeah, but we get shit like, oh, well, you're platforming this person, and he'd always like roll his eyes, but like it would get annoying to the point where it's like, if you're going to debate them, like there's what the fuck is platforming? Like, people have their own fucking platforms. If you're finding some guy off the street that's crazy and you're like, hey, meet this crazy guy that has like no followers, and he's like, oh, I'm going to start a YouTube channel. All right, I get it at that point, but like if it's somebody who's almost always be somebody bigger than him. It would almost always be someone who had an even bigger like platform than he did. And it's like, you're not platforming someone if their platform is bigger than your platform. Like, that's not how that works.
It's like that Michael guy from Jubilee who said that, you know, government agencies get tax breaks for hiring black people. He was also in the recent anti-vax versus like, you know, one pro-vax like doctor. And looking into that guy's history, he wants to make it in Hollywood, like Ben Shapiro and Brett Cooper did. Like, most conservatives are failed Hollywood actors, influencers, trying to make a name for themselves and just say the worst things possible. That's about it. And also, too,
well, it's definitely in the media space. Definitely, that.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Ben Shapiro divaing over musical theater. I was like, I see a washed up musical theater actor when I see one.
If he just, I mean, the Daily Wire is collapsing. You know, thank God. It was only a matter of time before that billionaire money was running out. If Ben Shapiro just stuck to critiquing musical theater, I would watch his stuff because that's when he seems the most happy, believe it or not.
I found this thing that was like three waiters, and it's like a thing where you can book these three guys that come in waiter clothes and they sing to you, like they're like singing waiters. And so I just took Ben Shapiro's face and Matt Walsh's face and that Jeremy Boring guy's face. I just put it on the three waiters. So every time they're like, "Oh, Daily Wire's collapsing," I'm like, "We're almost there. It's almost time for three waiters."
We're getting there. We're getting there. I mean, and it goes to show how online media, like this film, obviously shows that Fox News is still kicking, still going strong, stronger than ever because you know Trump. It really goes to show that you have to be unapologetically pro-Trump. Daily Wire tries, they try too hard. Like if they kept Candace Owens on and try to get Stephen Crowder on, even Stephen Crowder's channel is failing. So it's like, you know, the conservative indie, well, it's not indie media because they're all funded by billionaires, but that conservative online media space is dwindling because one thing, they're probably not getting enough, you know, money. A lot of, you know, people don't want to be tied back to, like, you know, controversial statements. Like, that's why Rupert Murdoch finally had to, like, do something about Roger Ailes, knowing that there was sexual harassment and potential assault going around at Fox News. And he didn't want that getting out. And that would ruin him and probably would ruin Fox as a brand. And we all know Fox survived that because they all still mourned Roger Ailes in the end and cried about his death.
Well, also people kind of went through, again, this is like so fresh with the Me Too stuff, is like they were kind of just like, oh, well, we took care of the problem and now it's gone. Slash like all the people that were like
oh, you muted.
That was the dog that they're truly like, how dare you sit in one place for more than 10 minutes? But like, it's like one of those where it's like, what was she wearing? You know, it's like all this vibe where it's like, okay, so we really didn't actually, we just fired someone. Like, yes, it makes a big difference. It changed a lot of lives. But again, we're not getting to the root of the issue. And then they like quickly forget. And then we're back to our hellscape.
Yeah. Well, this movie did a good job showing how fortified, you know, at least Roger Ailes, you know, Fox News tenure was at these lawsuits, because it's like there, and when you actually look into it, there's way more women than just that one Iranian American journalist that they had at one point. I forget her name, but she like is a real person that, you know, they let her pretty much sue Fox News just so they could be like, this is what happens when you sue Fox News, and they just buried her. Pretty much like there was a bunch of people that had tried coming out at different times. They had fortified their legal team so much because Roger Ailes was doing this constantly that like they just had pretty much a legal machine ready to go if any woman came out and was like, I got sexually harassed by Roger Ailes. Like it eventually happened that, you know, the stuff was recorded, which is smart to do, but I think a lot of the time it's people that are like, you know, like it happens so fast that you don't have a recording device available, right? Like, you're not thinking in the moment, I'm going to play this person until they say
If I had to have a meeting with a sweaty, fat, balding dude, I'm definitely going to have my phone hidden and have that shit recording.
Oh my God.
You never want to have a meeting with a sweaty, fat, bald, like, just, yeah.
It's like, you know, with me partaking in the lawsuit against the guy who filmed me and some of my other Dog City customers without, because they were all friends, without their consent, I have to have my records are going to be showing the payments from Venmo after the fact when he filmed me like during a few times, and then there wasn't anything like filmed after. So it's like I was still going there, not knowing that they still had cameras in there. So I have to show the lawyer like all like my payment receipts from the wife because I'd had nothing to do with the husband. But it's interesting how when you finally see someone, you're like, yeah, that seems like the type of person who would do something perverted like that.
Yeah.
And that's what Roger Ailes looks like
to
me.
You look at Roger Ailes and you're like, yeah, that guy, there was something disgusting
going on.
Even
Bill O'Reilly.
But it also goes back to like our like pretty privileged society, both in like the criminal system as well as like when we look at like JFK. Like it's just like going back to that kind of conversation. We also, I feel like it's you oftentimes, especially me too, and I see this in like some TikToks, like when it's like an attractive person that's committed acts of like sexual violence against women, it's always like, oh, but hear me out. And you're like, wait, but hold up. Like, why does the person always have to be this like creepy looking, sweaty, bald guy that's for like 100 years old, you know? But
well, like, it's like that. It's like that meme. That's like the guy goes in and he's like, hello, lady, whatever. And then it's like, you know, and then there's the other guy and he's like, hello, lady. And
it's actually like the Me Too episode of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, because Dennis planted the whole Me Too seminar, like sexual harassment seminar, without anyone knowing that. He explained, like, you know, he showed like a picture of himself. He's like, now, ladies, you know, if this guy, you know, makes a comment, it's flirtatious. It's not, you know, you're not taken aback by it because it's a good looking man. And then he shows Rickety Cricket and he's like, now this guy said you're beautiful. You're going to be put off. You're going to be.
I remember
now,
watching that. That
actually sexual harassment.
I remember watching that when it first dropped, and I was like, "Dude, they need to stop. They're getting too
tap, 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 tap. Like that was a good episode because Dee was taking advantage of being a woman, using her, you know, womanly privileges to, you know, to say, "Hey, which one of you grind my ass?" And all the men like backed away. She's like,
hey. "Yeah, literally,
women are very, very powerful right now. We gotta be careful." I'm like, "Okay, yeah, sure, why not?"
Yeah, it's just interesting. Oh, sorry.
No, I was just going to say, like, Fox News is a specifically crazy environment for this, too, because, like, they got away with, like, you can even see it when they go back in the thing, and they literally, I like that they green screen, you know, Nicole Kidman into Fox and Friends instead of, like, getting them to do Fox and Friends, but, like, all the, like, they're able to do all these kind of, like,
deducing Brian Kilmeade, I guess, like, really? Like,
well, I think it's because it's the people that still work at Fox, a lot of them. I mean, maybe, like, who gives a fuck about Judge Nina or whatever, but I think some of them are probably litigious enough that they couldn't get them to sign off on whatever it is, like, to be portrayed in the movie, like, so they have certain people that still work there, like Judge Neer and whatever. I mean,
like, how long am I going to be in the scene? Okay.
But
am I getting drunk? No? Cool.
I think it's so scary enough that Fox, obviously they weren't okay with this film. Like, obviously they weren't like, everyone go see it, we'll promote it. But like the fact that they weren't as outraged is like concerning, at least to me, being like, they are that powerful that even Hollywood, they can just easily be like, well, it's Hollywood elites, like, look at this cast. And it's like, that's a scary thing that they're so unbothered by an entire film and that they know that their audience is not going to be affected by this film. Like,
it's like,
well, because
yeah,
I mean, it makes it seem like
it was a great band.
Well, no, it makes it like at the end of it, right? Like, they could have done something where, like, hey, this is still like a sexual assault factory, probably, but they kind of like watched, like, they try to do like the neat Hollywood ending where it's like, things changed for a little bit at least, and it's like for like days. Like Megyn Kelly got fired pretty instantaneously. Like they let everybody pretty much
got
go.
Fired for being, you know, I mean, she was the first woman to come forward, I think, and also to her views being somewhat liberal. And I'm like, well, you could have had her as a liberal panelist on The Five, like that one brunette with the glasses is. But I mean, having to do a daily panel every day with Jesse Waters and Greg Gutfeld seems very fun.
Well, she went through like almost like she went through her liberal meltdown. I remember seeing this as it was happening, like on the news or whatever.
Yeah,
where she started, she's like, oh, I believe in, or I think I just on Twitter, I guess I saw, but like she was like, oh, I believe in gun control, and then she's like, oh, I believe in, you know, this is like no makeup day thing where it's like, you know, International Women's Day or whatever. Like all that stuff happened, and it seemed like she was spiraling, like that was her version of like a crash out.
Well, I think it also happened where like liberals too were like, we're not friends though. And then it was like, but where do I go? And then it's like, money. Gimme, gimme, gimme. And then I feel like that was the cycle.
I am politically homeless, to quote Anna Kasparian.
That's, I think, exactly what happened.
Yeah.
Well, she never got hired to work in media again. Megyn Kelly, for, you know, she was enough. Because she was still, I guess, working at Fox, and they fired her. They hired her at NBC, and then that didn't go well because, like in this movie, they said, like, you never get the stink of Fox News off you. And then obviously she works at like SiriusXM or whatever now. But like,
she has her show, and she's
what she has to do now is like she constantly just debases herself and does like the fate. Like she's gone from being, I think, someone at Fox News who was more of like a at the time, right? Like she had some like obviously reactionary views and was like a conservative, but like she was more on like the, oh, this person is an insane side of things. Because she's like a lawyer and she's like, you know, smart enough to kind of do, like, she seems like a smart person, but it seems like at this point she's just debased herself so much that that part of everything is gone.
Like, she needs to go viral. You know?
And she's constantly out, like, she does the outrage thing where she's just constantly like, I'm like, that can't be good for your like heart or anything like that. Like,
Snow White is white. Like,
I also think, I'm just thinking about now, especially this film, as much as like we give it the criticism, it also opens the conversation to be like, especially a lot of these women within the political sphere and commentary, like, they, a lot of the men can just get away with changing or this and that, and it like literally is like, well, you have to do this one thing, or like, you have to do this opportunity. And it's like, we've created this system in which like it's this in triple standard for these women. Yeah, they had shitty views and were on Fox, but like the triple standards. And I do think that the film does achieve that example where like, yes, it is shitty that they didn't speak up, but like, we, they're also put in this like position where it's like, it's just an interesting, that's like my one, okay, I vibe with that with the film, but everything else I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah. It kind of reminds me with Francesca Fiorentini getting ousted from TYT. And she was explaining about Anna, how unhappy she was, like about a decade ago, because Jenks saw her as a little sister and she didn't have more of like a hands-on, like, a like control of like what the content is. But now you see what Anna's pumping out there with a lot of these like conservative tilting stories and her at constant outrage. It's like, girl, just leave the network. You're unhappy. Go on Fox News. Go News Nation. Go somewhere else where you'll be paid a lot, where you can spew all this bullshit and you'll be happy, hopefully.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like with TYT or with really any, like a lot of this independent, like Daily Wire, like any of it, right? Like, they're kind of just aping cable news. And like, it's always disappointed me, at least like the left side of this, because it's like, that somebody should aspire to be like more than cable news, like to try to come up with a new format that really like enlightens people in a different way, or like creates their own version of something. It just seems like a lot of these, all of these shows really, when people try to,
except
like,
for Majority Report's
also, yeah. No, well, Majority Report's good because they've kind of done, they've created like a different format, but like when it's basically like a cable news show that you're creating, like even down to the sets, right? Like, it's just kind of feels disappointing because it's like, you like constantly talking about how cable news is, well, it's just like, I mean, I've never given any of these people more, but like, it's constantly this thing where it's like, it's feeling like you're like, oh, well, cable news is corrupt, cable news is this. But then if you're aping that exact style, you're just going to end up inevitably becoming that. And I feel like that's happened to all these.
And that's what Sam Caesar told Cenk years ago when the Majority Report was like under the TYT umbrella. He was like, Cenk's like, I want to be in airports. He's like, why? You're doing YouTube. It's the new thing. Streaming, you know.
Nobody pays attention to the stuff that's on airports either.
Like, exactly.
Well, I was like, I was literally going to say, I was like, that new format was like short form. And it's just so crazy now that we're also low-key going back to cable. We're just like in this like
cycle. All the packages, the streaming packages. Also too, I cannot believe the breaking news Fish is a reliable source now on TikTok
that
and Instagram.
Sends me every time. I'm like, I'm like, yes, my news.
And give me the facts.
TYT being a Roku was big. That was a big but still, it was the same thing, right? Like, all the channels at that time were on Roku, and it's like you go to it and it's like pretty much the same thing as TV, and it just felt like a lot of stuff is on Roku. But it's like, I don't know, I just feel like you should like aspire to be something different or something that pushes harder than cable news does. And it's like when I see people aping cable news just online, it's like, this is never, like, you're gonna spend all of your time chasing basically cable news, like, and then
that's
you're gonna
get your information. Yeah. Plus subscription didn't, like, Fox has their own like streaming subscription thing. I'm like, that's not gonna do you any good because most of your audience are boomers who watch cable news.
I mean, they kind of were cooking with the the thing where Tucker Carlson was like, why can't men get hard anymore? And then he put the red light on the balls. I feel like I feel like if they hadn't fired him, that would have done it for them.
Yeah. I mean, also when Pete Hegseth almost killed someone with an axe, that would have been funny if that actually did happen on live TV.
I do feel like though, like, people do underestimate the boomers, like, they just have their kids download it, or like their kids put them on like an auto subscription, and it is such a massive like market, I feel like. And they had to with COVID. I think like people underestimate the fact that like a lot of boomers had to learn technology and things during COVID. So it's like,
yeah. But also just, it goes on the TV. I mean, what Fox News has really excelled at more than anything else, right? It's something that goes on TV at, like, nursing homes or, like, at, you know, at the doctor or whatever the fuck. All these places where you don't think about it necessarily, where, like, you know, large groups of people sit and gather. And it's, like, the old people, because Fox News has been such a big thing for them, you know, for the worse, always for the worse. But, like, it gets so much play on, you know, in the middle of a nursing home or in the community center or in, like, all these different things that obviously online is never going to be able to compete with for that generation. But it's like, I don't know. It's never going to be as big as cable TV. And I just wish people online would not chase that. Like, it just feels disappointing.
I mean, Democracy Now! Doesn't do that, though. They have their own studio, but they do a lot of things, like, on the ground reporting and stuff like that. And so,
well, what Democracy Now! Does is that they have a lot of hookups with, if I remember, like, NPR and stuff like that, right? So you can listen to Democracy Now! On the radio in the car. Like, that's a different, and I think that, like, I think where Sam Cedar's whole, like, Majority Report thing comes from is that, like, he was on Air America and stuff. And so he has a different, you know, his mindset's different because it's like, oh, we can be on the radio, like, you know, streaming live, and we can also be on, you know, on the internet. But even for the first couple of decades he did that, like, or the first decade he did that, at least, like, it was less online and more on the radio with Air America. So it's like, I don't know, it's these different formats. I think, you know, radio kind of was a better in for the internet than cable TV.
I mean, look at Rush Limbaugh.
But then also again, now we have podcasting, so rip. You know,
ban the podcast. I say, as I'm on a podcast,
but, like, I mean, I feel like the amount of times it's like podcast, and you're like, oh, okay, that's right. It's very, like, some people, like, politically are like, wah, and you're like, oh, fuck, that was not words, but you know what I meant.
Yep,
because, like, I feel like it's the same way anyone can be a YouTuber, anyone can make a movie. You know, it's like, we're so easy to do it. And I say it as someone who does all these things, like, I'm not criticizing it, I just mean, like, it's scary how little verification of, like, reality and truth there is, because anyone can market it as being legitimate. And it's like, I think that's the scary part. And, like, everyone says this, but, like, that's the scary part. And that we're just like, I feel like we're just defeated. And, like, people are not as, like, privy about algorithms as, like, you think they should. Like, again, like, people really thought, like, on our side, like, Kamala was going to win. And it's like, because of algorithms, because of those things that were, like, it's so effective, like, especially the amount that, like, TikTok fucking bootlicked Trump. And it's like, it's scary. I don't know. That's my soapbox, and I'm going to step off it now because the internet's too negative.
Well, Fox News literally legitimized, like, fake news and all that. Like, they were the first, like, network to really do that, because, I mean, getting rid of the fairness doctrine, where news had to be actually fair and balanced. By the way, this movie would have been called Fair and Balanced. And I'm like, well, thank God they didn't go that route.
I think that, with the fairness doctrine, right? It was like conservatives that actually, like, exploited the fuck out of that, where they would be like, oh, whatever, like, is happening, like, is vaguely leftist. Like, they'd have, like, I remember Rick Perlstein writes about how, just, like, on a show or whatever, right? Like, a talk show, they had, like, the guys from the Chicago 7 pretty much. And they just had them on, and it was, like, the most boring, like, almost non-political amount of time. You know, and, like, conservatives made a big enough deal. They're like, number one, you have to have, like, Ronald Reagan on to your next thing, and, or, like, Pat Buchanan, and you have to also do this. We need separate time, just by the virtue of it being, like, you know, Chicago 7 style radicals or whatever. But by that point, they weren't even like, they were just talking about, like, the real revolution is getting in touch with your body, and then followed by, like, a conservative cut your taxes out pretty much.
I just hate how conservatives have kind of hijacked the culture war, everything, but they don't have any solutions because they know their policies are very unpopular.
Yeah, I was just rereading, like, Thomas Frank's What's the Matter with Kansas, where it's just his 8-hour diatribe about the culture wars and about how they're, like, the culture war is on purpose just unwinnable, right? Like, for conservatives, it's like there's the two sets of conservatives where it's like the more moderate ones where, you know, they want their economic benefits, and everything benefits them anyway, and then the lower class people that kind of jump on board that are like, you know, really into the idea of like stopping abortions or really into the idea of stopping gay marriage or getting God back in school. And most of those are battles that nobody can ever win. So constantly the agreement continues because it's like, oh, this battle isn't won. We have like liberals stopped us from winning this battle. And it's like,
yeah,
it's just, it's just
now they got all this power and they're, you know,
yeah,
putting us out through all that now. So it's like,
But I feel like it's the most kind of genius culture war track that a lot of like are out of a lot of the ones that I've read, because he's talking about how like everyone's kind of fired up and all this like populist energy, but the populist energy ended up being like just helping out big business.
Yeah.
That's something I can't stand.
But yeah, you want to do
right wing populism, so faux populism. Oh, one Letterbox one liners.
Yeah.
Do them now?
Yeah, if you want to.
Yeah, let's go. So, Letterboxd is a place where film lovers, film haters, film curious folks gather with each other to discuss the films they love, the films they hate, the films they wish were written and directed by women. Now, all this...
Women.
Yeah,
women.
Is that Chuck Schumer? Is that Chuck Schumer talking about
women?
Women.
I was doing so good until Forrest interrupted me. I'm sorry, Conan. But this is all said succinctly. Bottom democracy is not just for the Siskel Ebers of the world. We pick the best one-liners. We show them to you guys. We discuss them. We laugh at them. So here they are, the Letterboxd one-liners for Bombshell, a.k.a. Fair and Balanced. Megyn Kelly is my feminist hero. Yas, queen, live, laugh, love. I'm going to go to Lululemon and buy some fucking leggings.
Did you say Lululemon?
Lululemon?
is that the
Indian lemon?
Lululemon.
Lululemon. Lululemon.
Welcome to Lululemon.
I am real woman. I shop at Lululemon.
This is actually, I think this is this girl named Willa, but I feel like it's Julia's review.
No, literally though, that was my takeaway. I did not write this. I am real woman.
Beep. It's big Air leggings to put this movie out.
Big leggings.
Yeah.
I am literally wearing my Lululemon leggings as I read this.
Oh, ho, ho, Lululemon.
Lululemon.
Ho, ho. Imagine this was, written by a woman, directed by a woman.
Just like the world created by a woman. God is a woman.
God is a woman. Okay, Aria.
Yeah. This is true, though. This is a very true letterbox.
Yeah,
it's like
one of many.
You know that it's written by a man, also, because like in the end, they just have Margaret Robbie be like, the thing about getting sexually harassed at work, and it's like you're really like shoehorning it in to try to figure out an ending for this.
I'm good.
Yeah.
They're like, we had women on set. Women.
And we're like, the thing about getting sexually harassed at work.
Let me tell you about
Fox News is bad.
You wouldn't completely know that by watching this, though.
Thank you, Matt Lynch. I like that every like word in this one is like a completely different font and like grammatical.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
You should have done a bold Fox News is bad.
Very few people appreciate the art of letterbox grammatical visual art methods, but we appreciate you, Matt Lynch.
Yes.
I always forget to do it.
The ultimate wig can and will hurt you.
That's what she should have taken off her wig and stabbed Mark Duplass's wife Katie with it.
Got a shank under it.
Oh, you want to say that to me?
Yeah. Literally no one, not a single soul. The camera zoom.
Yeah, that's why it's crazy, because their main lawyer, right? Like the Murdoch's main lawyer, that's kind of the douchebag guy, is fucking David from The Office.
That's
like
awesome.
And so like I was just thinking about that when they zoom, because he's the wife's talking to him and they're like, oh, have you heard of this lawyer? And he's like, no, I haven't. He's wearing like a little yarmulke.
Dead. And
then they zoom in on him.
Yeah.
I love when like comedic actors enter like serious roles in circa 2016 films and everyone's like, oh, they can do drama too. Zoom.
That guy just he just looks like a lawyer slash executive, like that guy. Like, yeah. I don't think if you're like, oh, this guy is just like a guy that's a worker at a factory, I'd be like, no, he's not. This is David from The Office.
He is like iPhone face, but like office face.
Yeah.
Anchor Barbie.
Yeah, I caught it. I caught the line. By the way, shout out to Zeeshan Ali. I know that guy.
Yeah.
He's so like, glad that
they
made
that, because everyone's like, now when people watch it, it's like, oh, what did they know? I'm like, nothing. It was just Margot Robbie's always looked like Barbie. Okay, chill out.
It's true.
Zeeshan works for like the New York Times.
Oh.
Oh, wow.
I hate to be this person. I really do. But every time the Murdochs came on screen, I thought about how I should be watching Succession instead.
Yeah, you know? I thought about that a lot when watching, because it's like, I feel like they did the entire, they were so much smarter about the culture aspect of it, and like just the broad cynicism of the entire thing. Like this movie, like you wouldn't really get what Fox News is doing, like the deep poison of it, really, by like, mm-hmm. I mean, except for Kate McKinnon going, oh, it's gonna, you know, scare your grandmother and piss off your grandfather. Ooh, like,
yep.
Now let's have lesbian sex, even though you're supposed to be like the evangelical lady, true believer, whatever.
Yeah,
hell yeah.
I spent more time playing my favorite game of "Hey, is that?" than I did actually watching this movie. Hey.
I was on IMDb like fairly every time. I mean, obviously not when I saw it in theaters, but I did a rewatch. I was like, IMDb pro, don't let me down right now. Let me look at every little fucking actor in this thing.
Yep.
They even had I don't think the guy's real name is Kevin, but the guy from Brooklyn Nine-Nine that's this Holt's husband.
Yeah, you know,
plays, like they had that guy playing Chris Matthews.
Yes,
and like, for 1 second he was like, and did the face, the and it's like, yeah, yep. It's like, how much did you pay that guy to just do that face?
Yeah, well, it's crazy because I think it was Allison Jones that cast this, and she does like a lot of like comedy and stuff. So it's just like, I think it was Allison Jones. Let me see. Like, this was me the whole movie. I was like,
IMDb. This is workplace comedy.
So those are the Letterboxd one-liners for Bombshell. You can follow Forrest at Always Flocka, also at the main Movie Night Extravaganza account. He's always logging the films that we do, doing the stories of the films that we cover on this podcast.
Yeah, we need to start doing that again.
Yeah, we got to start doing that again. You can follow me at Christina. I'm actually logging more than Conan is, apparently. So that's progress.
He's in Japan right now.
Am I? Him. Yeah, I'm Squishy Lump.
There we go. Perfect.
Yeah, all hail the Squishy Lump.
Squishy Lump.
Yeah.
Can I say one last thing before we go?
We're still going to do plugs.
Oh, yeah. Well, this wasn't a plug. This is about the movie. I saw this. The casting directors are Ben Harris and Allison Jones. It goes Ben Harris first on IMDb and then Allison Jones, which is funny because it's Allison Jones's company who casts, like, it's Allison Jones casting and Ben works for Allison Jones.
Sexism.
And yet Ben is first, and you can't even justify it by being alphabetical order because A is before B. Anyway, that's all I have to say.
Although I think they do the last name, right? Or maybe not. I don't know.
It's still kind of weird though.
It's misogyny. It's like IMDb and the M is for misogyny.
I'm misogynist, please only.
The internet misogynist database. If you're watching us on YouTube, please like and subscribe. And then hit the bell to get notified whenever we're streaming. And we'd humbly request that you watch the video to the end, because it helps us with the algorithm and helps more film fans to discover the show. We're also monetized. If you want to get your chat questions definitely read on stream, you can always send us a super chat, which will help us keep the show going. Every cent helps. If you're watching on Twitch, you can gift us a free sub on Amazon Prime with your Prime membership, but getting subs on Twitch is always appreciated, and it helps to follow us on there as well. We also have an audio feed, which is available wherever you download podcasts, if you prefer to listen to podcasts rather than watch the stream. That's updated usually the same day we stream, but watching on YouTube and Twitch is the best way to get the show first, live as it happens. If you want to support us with a monthly donation and get access to all of our after parties forever, which go patron only after we do them, you can become a patron at patreon.com/movienightextra. Link is in the description for that. It really helps us keep the show going since we do have some expenses to make this happen. We also have a Discord community. Link is in the description for that. We sometimes watch movies we cover on there. We get into conversations about everything from film to TV shows to related podcasts. We even have a Discord channel for memes. It's really fun on there. You can find us on all the social media platforms, Facebook, Instagram, Blue Sky, Twitter, and Threads. You connect with us on all of those. Talk to us. We'd love to hear from you. Lastly, we recently made a TikTok at Movie Night Extra, where we're putting up short-form clips from the episodes. Okay, passing this to Conan so he can tell you about his music and this week's Protonic Reversal. Conan, who's on Protonic this week?
Conan's not here.
He's obviously not here. But you could go to Bandcamp, neutronfriends.bandcamp.com, and get The Way of the Neutron, which is available right now. It dropped on March 20th. So you can go do that and give Conan some money while he's in Japan. Because I think, I think it costs money to go to Japan. I don't know for sure, but by the way, women.
Women.
Chuck Schumer's.
We need the glasses. Yeah, no, got glasses. Yeah, the. Oh, wait. Okay.
All right. Women. that does sound like Chuck Schumer talking about. Hello, women. Christina, what's going on?
Well, I was on last night with the letter hack, and it was fun. He was drawing Cenk as, Jesus and the 12 apostles, which is pretty cool.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
That's funny. See, the thing about Matt's art, you can't tell if he's making fun of you or appreciating you, and that's what I love best about it.
I remember when he drew us as the Peanuts, and I was like, and then he's like, oh, because your voice sounds like the parents of Charlie Brown. I was like, you mean, wah, 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 wah.
Yeah, and of course, still streaming on Twitch. I'm going to start also streaming on Kick. So kick.com/cosmopolitics. Oh. Apparently there are no ads. The copyright's a lot more laxed, and you get more, like when it comes to subscribers, the payout, the split. The split is actually better for the the creator, the streamer.
How do they pay you if they don't have just like the people, like the subscribers pay you?
Yeah, Word. Subscribers pay. Yeah, which is, I mean, it basically copy Twitch's interface for the most part. So you can stream, you can use OBS to stream it. Still doing the Shadow Saturday. We were getting more
Shadow Saturday.
Yeah, Shadow Saturday. We're getting closer and closer to probably another time traveling storyline, because Victoria Winters is no longer on the show because she left because she was pregnant, but she's recasted, but no one likes the recast. Everyone's like, this is weird to see them, but this is not her. I'm like, I know, but that's how they do it in soap operas. They recast people all the time.
True.
Yeah. And so, but there's just, stuff happening. What else is there going on? I am so sleep deprived that I have no idea.
Nude.
Oh, yeah. On Thursday we're having Ron Placone on to talk about his movie.
Yeah.
Left at Wall. So that should be an interesting time.
Yeah. But yeah, I was also on the Power Report last week, which was fun because every time Dan said I'm not gonna interrupt you, he ended up interrupting me.
Nude. He's interrupting women. You gotta scold him like Chuck Schumer. You gotta be like, stop interrupting women. Yeah. I feel like this voice is gonna get me canceled eventually.
Women.
I wanted to take a clip of
Kept saying stuff that was kind of offensive. Like he said the G, like for he said chipped. Like gypsy, whoa, there. And he's like, and then we were explaining like certain language. He's like, oh God. But he's also like, see, I didn't get offended when you guys said that I was saying something offensive. I'm like, yeah, that's the point. Just let it go.
He didn't know where that comes from.
No.
Oh man.
I don't think Adrian
sent him a document explaining all the like you can't say no can do, because that's what the Chinese would say when they was building the railroads. They would tell them to work more hours,
I feel like that's going a little far. But Gyps literally is a racial slur.
Canceled. Canceled. Yeah, yeah. Canceled.
Hey, Julia. But Julia, yeah, what's going on? What do you have going on?
You know, recently react. People didn't like me because, shocker, the title of the episode was "Try Not to Laugh," and Izzy and I tried not to laugh. And
yeah,
I also had blue hair, so it was really big.
React video. Try not to come.
And you did a,
No, you went muted. You went full mute. You never go full.
You also were recently on Jubilee doing the "Try Not to Cry" challenge or something.
Yeah, I also did a Jubilee thing where we had to strip naked, which we had no idea going into that. They didn't give us a heads up contract or anything. So that was definitely suspicious. Speaking of everything going on in a Me Too movement. But yeah, it's out. They did it for both male and female identifying people. But, you know, weirdly, Jubilee was teetering on fetish content there. But...
yeah,
it flopped. So what are you gonna do? I was supposed to do their video this weekend and I'm not, but it is about feminism, so it'll be a fun 20 it's surrounded video about feminism. The guest should be big. I'm not on it. I just want to let people know that they, you know, I was gonna be part but yeah, so
this is crazy. Is it gonna be, so it's gonna be one dude surrounded by women, or it's gonna be one woman that's not feminist?
Probably one anti-feminist woman.
I have a feeling the latter. A lot of people have their speculations as who it's gonna be, like kind of like a Candace Owens kind of thing, but no one really knows who it's gonna be. Like they, but they're bringing the fucking superstars of Jubilee. Like everyone who's been kind of viral from a Jubilee video, like
Mason,
Naima. They're probably gonna bring Parker. Like they're probably gonna bring all of the.
Smart people, the really like people, all my friends, like let's go.
Why when I was cast in it, I was like, I'm not one of those people. I'm literally just like, I just run my mouth and then people get mad at me, but I'm big mistake. But yeah,
I also run my mouth and then people get mad at me, but for different reasons.
I know. Well, listen, in the React video, they had us off camera. They were like, what do you think of this video, this joke? Break it down. So we broke down the jokes, but of course in edit, they kept that. So people were like, uh-oh, blue hair joke police. Uh-oh. And everyone's like, I was just like, what the fuck?
But anyway, I'm offended.
Watching React? Like, what?
Dude.
You gotta get Chuck Schumer in there and say he's offended.
I got mad when the teens are like, when teens are like, do they know 90s music? They're like, this is High School Musical. I'm like, no, kids, stop.
American my
day. Yeah, I'd watched some of those videos a long ass time ago. I do like when they have old people react to stuff, but it's like old people react to like hip hop, and then it's like, don't make them do this. Come on, like,
let them free. Let them go.
They're like, hey, I don't love this. This seems like they said a lot of bad words. What is that, the N-word? I say that sometimes.
literally, they're like, no, let's get you back to bed, Grandpa.
But yeah. I like when it's like the one old person that's clearly trying to be cool, and they're like, oh, I love this, and it's like, you're never gonna listen to this. Shut up, Grandpa.
I mean, there's one elderly woman, I forgot. She comes on sometimes now. I forgot. She always had like long hair, and she always seemed very up with the times. Like she was always so cool.
I feel like I watched old people react to "This Is America." This is America. I feel like I watched that one in 2018.
The problem is they can't really do that anymore because the songs, they don't have the rights to the song. So
it's more
than 5 seconds. So they had to pivot to like, guess a song in 1 millisecond.
I'm able to do that though. I listen to music constantly. So I'm like, I got the best ear. Like there was an old one where the firmwares had to react to like 50s and 60s music. And they were like, this is not the Beach Boys. And I'm like, Don, this is the Beach Boys. Like, I was a music producer.
You're like, guess this musical artist. And like, it's Elvis.
Literally.
It's Elvis.
Yeah, I'm
dead. The first time I ever orgasmed was to Elvis. Like, all right. Thanks, Grandpa.
Final thoughts, anyone?
Yeah, anybody got any final thoughts about Fox News?
It's bad.
It is bad. Julia, you got some final thought?
I was trying to disassociate when I heard Fox News. I have no final thoughts about that. Rest in piss, Roger Ailes. That's all I gotta say.
Yeah. Roger Ailes. Get out of here. We liked Roger Beers better anyway.